In a world where icebergs are extinct. In a world where artificial intelligence is the only intelligence. In a world where sea monkeys choke on plastic bananas. These humble octogenarians will wear dresses, go to church, and look very pretty on the Siamese herring. Hello, Brian.
Oh, g'day, Brian.
It's good to see you once again on this fine October evening.
Brian, I haven't seen you in about 13, 14, 15 days now.
Something like that. I'm not sure if the listeners know that you're actually on tour at the moment. We're not in the studio together, unfortunately. We've spent many, many, many decades in the studio together. But of late, with the COVID crisis and the beluga whale disaster that's happened across the world, that we've had to part ways.
Look, I can't believe the fact that I'm in Antarctica and that you are in Brisbane, and we're communicating via wire that's connected by our roofs.
This modern technology is just stunning.
It is, Brian. And I mentioned to you off air that I spent two nights in Mawson's Hut again. Look, I think you'd be very impressed with what I've done for the place now.
It needed a bit of a tidy up, I must admit. I can look in at any time with the CCTV. We've got to keep up security down there because there's all these drunken yobbos just wandering around the Antarctic these days. It's not like the good old days where you just couldn't get there. You needed to have fancy material and lots of money to get there. Any old clown can get to Antarctica these days. That's and right, just trample Brian. All over Mawson's Hut. That's disgusting.
Right. That's right, Brian. Well, what I've found, as you know, down here is the Chinese. They're down here. And they're away from the facial recognition cameras. They're away from their overbearers and from the Uyghurs. And they're just running amok down here. They've got lots of rice wine. They're smoking lots of things that look like they're out of some sort of disease-ridden country.
Yes.
And, but my God, can they cook up a storm.
They can cook up a storm and they can lay concrete, Brian. I believe that they're just laying concrete on top of the ice down there at Antarctica. And then they're hoping that by the time the ice all melts, that the concrete will just fall into place and they'll be able to come in with Navy landing barges and their helicopters and B-58-7 specials.
They are, Brian. It's they're well ahead of their time, as we know. I mean, they invented Kung Fu before anybody else even knew what that meant. Yeah. They know all about frying dead fish, you know, saucepan. Yeah. They did that in the 16th century. And now they're doing fried rice, things that we've never even thought was possible with a uranium isotope. Now, what I'm really enjoying about being down here with the Chinese, Brian, is that they really are cuddly little buggers. They tend to wander around willy-nilly in the nude. Everything shrinks up, and they love that, Brian.
They err on the side of smallness.
They do.
Whereas us Western gents like to have big, big schlongs. The bigger the better. They really love a small schlong.
They do.
The smaller the better. I'm not sure how the women fare within that department, but the men love having a small schlong.
They do, Brian. The mentality is, Brian, is that as they wander around the Antarctic in the nude, their small schlongs, when they go back to the bosom of the family inside the igloo or Mawson's Hut, whichever they feel like at the time, and the heat and the warmth of the family, the fire they have burning or some sort of accelerant, everything comes back to life. And it's huge. And they can go, look at me. I'm just I'm not tiny and insignificant anymore. No. I'm massive. I'm the Arnold Schwarzenegger of the schlong community.
That's just the glory of the expansion of the genitalia. From tiny itty-bitty to this massive schlong. It's like bonsai almost.
It is, bro.
It's like miniature hugeness in the schlong department.
I agree totally.
Brian. I love them.
Well, they're brilliant, Brian, and we've always discussed about the Chinese, the Russians and all that. We've had a bit of a sad story and a bit of bad news come our way. A good old mate of ours passed away recently. Charlie Watts. I know you took it pretty hard, Brian, seeing you taught him how to drum.
Yeah, I only just stopped crying this morning. You know, I've been wailing. The tears have been flowing. Charlie was more than a friend. He was more than a play chum. He was more than, you know, a guardian angel to me. He didn't make any sense ever. He couldn't put two words together. He was just really, he was almost a autistic savant. I loved him, but he was really the dynamo behind that, what's the name of that musical group that's the Rolling Stones. He was the driving force behind that group of old fucks.
He was, Brian, and you were the driving force behind him. I know that the intimacy you had with Charlie over the years, especially in your younger years and he was an adolescent, you actually inspired him to take up beating those skins or beating something. I know you helped him beat a lot of things.
Well, I did, absolutely. If you'll recall that in the early days, Brian Jones wanted to play the drums. He was a bit of a psychopath. He just loved belting things. And it was Mick, what's his name? Mick Jagger that told Brian to settle the fuck down.
That's right.
That was his words. Settle the fuck down, Brian, and leave those things alone.
Yes.
Because you're just going to wreck them.
Yes, he did.
So that's when Charlie Watts was just, he was hanging around. He was an old bugger back then. And Mick suggested to him that he belt on these things. So Charlie had a belt on a few things. And in the full course of his life, he just loved to belt the shit out of things.
It
was just good that he could focus into the drums, into a musical instrument. Otherwise, he would have been heavyweight champion of Battersea.
He is, Brian. And I think the thing that I really appreciated about Charlie was the fact that he, you and I used to go out hunting together.
We'd go out. They were great days,
They were, Brian. He'd come out to Australia and he'd bring out a couple of clubs, a Matic, a shotgun, and we'd go out on out to Danville Creek, and we'd just find a couple of possums, and just go to town. He loved that, didn't he, Brian?
He loved them. He loved possums, and he loved beating the shit out of them. He loved ripping the skin off them. Yes. He never used a knife to skin them. He used to sort of chew out their anus and then just rip the skin off.
That's right.
Holding onto the tail. And he had hats and he wore gloves, mittens, socks, all made out of possum skin. He just loved possums. He did. He couldn't get enough.
That's right. Well, he went back to the UK and he put the name Possum in lights. He said, this is the future of food. And we said, mate, hang on, they're a bit protected out here. Be careful. And then Mick got onto it, and then that other idiot, what's his face? Keith. They all went mad. They all wanted possum sandwiches. And then all of a sudden they're out here on safari.
Yeah.
The clowns.
So they're silly pommy ass clowns. But, you know, they put the possum population on the map for Australia. Besides their wonderful music that they've churned out for centuries now. The other thing that they're highly respected for is the old Rolling Stones, is their love and advocacy of the possum nation.
They are, Brian, and there was a plan hatched. They said, we're coming out to Australia on tour, and the whole plan was not to be actually doing the band stuff. They were actually going to do a koala cull. And we said, I don't think we should do that, boys, because they're a bit of a protected species out here. And they said, look, we know the story. We know you hate all your animals. You run them over. Hate your coral reefs. You burn that to the ground. And we know what's going on. And we said, look, we'll get you into some sort of like groove here, boys. Come out, play your music. If you're good, if you're really good, we'll take you out to Brian's property.
Yeah.
And then we'll go shoot whatever you want.
Yep.
Dingoes, a couple of illegal immigrants.
Yep.
Some spotted goat.
Yep.
And we'll eat them all.
They loved it. They absolutely loved it. And on those special safaris, we used to go down to Logan and shoot some of the locals down there.
That's right.
Anyone that knows that the north side of Brisbane is like the cultural epicentre of Australia.
Ooh.
And south of the river, it's like you go into a time zone, a sort of mental void.
Yes.
It's just like
cesspit.
It is a cesspit, Brian. It's a cesspit of insanity, of moral ineptitude, of insanity.
Ooh, I agree, Brian. And I think the world knows now, because over the years, we've discussed this point many, many times, and we've had discussions with those androids live on the other side of the river, and they always come up with a comment, oh, we've got better everything, we've got better roads, and got better food and all that. Well, the thing is, but they're really not right at all, Brian. They're dumb. They're all of them.
Dumb as.
They are. And we've decided from now on that this broadcast, this podcast, will not be going to the south side of Brisbane ever again.
No, not at all. I think that's very wise. They say that a little bit of information is a dangerous thing. And I think this is the point to pay attention to with these fecal drones down on the south side of Brisbane. You and me, Brian, we've battled for years to uplift the standard of living and intelligence and morality of Brisbane this whole time. It's a bit of a backwater, but we've pushed forward and we've brought north side Brisbane into the modern era. But south side Brisbane's just fucking hopeless.
You couldn't have said it any better, Brian. Now, I think we should move on, Brian. We've had enough. With my discussions with you over the years, Brian, one of the things that we've always talked about, we love talking about, is beef cattle.
Now, I love beef cattle.
You do, Brian. I know you're one of the best slaughterers I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Now, there's a new breed of beef cattle coming out, I believe, from the north side of Brisbane, as usual. Anyway, this cow has got no udders. It doesn't have any of that sort of stuff. This peripheral stuff that's not important when it comes to meat. It's got 14 stomachs as usual, which we really really appreciate. So we do like our offal. Oh yeah, but it's got two tails, Brian. It's the two tail cow. It's going to be called the Brian.
Nice.
Now, Brian, I know you had a bit to do with the Gen X on this cow and that there's some physiology and sexology going on.
Oh, yes.
Did you actually get down to the farm to have something to do with the insemination of that cow?
I did. Now, mutation is one of the directions that the world is going into.
Mm.
Now, we've pretty much exhausted everything that's on this planet. And the only way forward is through mutation. I think Charles Darwin had it perfectly succinct when he said that there's not a natural thing on Earth that can't be mutated. And let me get my pants off and I'll mutate that thing over there in the bushes. Now, Charles was insane.
Yeah.
He was mad,
yeah.
But he had a lot of things going for him,
yeah.
And having sex with cows was one of them.
Mm.
And this insemination process that I've latched onto via Charles Darwin has really brought forth this new breed of cattle that will be just filling the void of needs in this world of ours. You know, starvation, poverty. It'll all be a thing of the past.
It will, Brian. That's what you're a humanitarian, Brian. This has got nothing about your sexual needs at all.
The
main thing about it is that you're thinking about the world, the problems we've got at the moment. We've got COVID. We've got disease.
Yeah.
We've got no money.
We've got the Taliban.
Which is good. Like we need more Taliban on each continent. Yeah. I believe actually what's going on here is that Afghanistan's going to do a big expansion drive.
Yeah.
They're going to push into, you know, your likes of Iraq, Iran, over into Israel. And then eventually with all that helicopters and stuff America left behind, they'll branch out into their own airline.
They will.
They'll be out here next, I reckon by next June, July. They're going to be out here. They're going to have their own footy team. It's going to be it's going to be the Taliban Danang, which is basically, if you translate it, it's going to be the Taliban killers, and they'll be out here playing AFL footy in 2023. They're going to be based at Tullamarine Marine Airport, just so they get a good getaway after a blood fest. And I'm looking forward to it, Brian.
I really am myself. The Taliban have really brought the spirit of the new world to all of us, I think. I think that they really have embraced the spirit of the new tomorrow. And things are looking up. Really are. You know, it's a combination of old world thinking and new world morality. I think that we're going to do well. I think there should be Taliban in every suburb just to keep things real. Just to make us appreciate the world we live in.
I agree, Brian.
Yeah.
And you need that. It's sort of like the grandfather you never had because he died in the war.
Yes.
You know, you need him coming back from somewhere and going, look, I know more than you do. Shut up.
Yeah.
And this is it. Now, the Taliban, I believe they should get into, obviously they need their own television show. They need a movie. They need a star. I can see Tom Cruise being the star of that movie, Brian.
I think you're. I think you got the finger on the pulse there, Brian. I think the Taliban are where it's at. You know, there's this whole cutting edge of the way things should be, the way things have been, and the way things are going to be. And I think a movie based on the Taliban sort of vibe. Not the actual reality, but the vibe of the Taliban. I think that's where it's at. We can all have a little bit of Taliban in us, and I think that'd be a good thing.
I agree, Brian. Look, I was talking to a terrorist, a few weeks ago. Just
Joe Rogan
at a party. It was Joe, but I thought it was Rogan. It might have been.
Okay. Sorry,
I was so drunk, I can't remember. But I was talking to this Joe chappy. And I said, look, the Taliban, like they're the new world. I think the new world when it came to television a number of years ago was the Uyghurs. And I think they should say, look, I believe it should be the Taliban with a D on the end. They should bring out this new group called the Taliban. And, they don't have skivvies on. They have AK-47s. They have balaclavas. And they come out and they just really gee up the kiddies.
Yeah. And different coloured balaclavas would just be sensational.
Yeah, I agree, Brian. Now, the best way to influence a community is get the kiddies on side.
Oh, absolutely, yes. Yeah. You've got to have the kiddies on board.
Yeah, the under-8s. After they're 8 years old, they're totally disillusioned and ruined and they're hopeless. But when they're 7 or younger, you can manipulate them and you can turn them into whatever you want. Infidels are gone.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
We don't want infidels anymore.
No.
What we want is a Taliban generation.
Musically inclined Taliban generation. It's almost like an MTV thing, I think, Brian.
Well, the thing is, Brian, as you know, with social media and TikTok and, Generation XYZ is that now it's all about digital foreplay. It's not about the sitting across it from a desk or a picnic table and talking to somebody. It's talking to somebody via a textical message, a message via some loop which goes via some other planet. And now what we've got is people don't even want to talk to anybody at all.
No.
But when you discuss things with kids, you can get into their brain. And those brains can be harvested later on, Brian.
Right, that's it. The remnants of these conversations are embedded in the skulls of these little 8-year-olds and 7-year-olds. And I think you're deadly right that these can be harvested at a later date.
Yes.
And I don't think that
Brian. Brian.
Oh, sorry, Brian.
No, it's all right.
And sorry, Brian.
Oh, you had a big night, Brian, last night.
I did.
You had a huge night.
I did. It was the Charlie Watts Festival, the Charlie Watts Appreciation Festival that is ongoing now. It's not going to be one day a year. It's every day, every year now. It's a Charlie Watts Appreciation Society. It's gone mental.
No, no. Well, he's an old friend of ours and an absolutely magnificent lover. Now, Brian,
he was.
Moving on, I've had a couple of things happened in the last week that really inspired me to turn the television off was Jimmy Swaggart was on television, Brian. You remember old Jimmy Swaggart, that
idiot from America? I can't believe that Jimmy Swaggart is still going. I think I actually think that Jimmy Swaggart is not a person.
No.
It's an entity. And I think there's many, many humanoid creatures that inhabit the persona of Jimmy Swaggart.
That's right. That's right. Well, Jimmy Swaggart, as I saw him before briefly about the Taliban, is that I think Jimmy Swaggart was the instigator of extraterrestrial style Taliban. You know, he talked about Jesus and he talked about God, the Lord, Christianity, send me money, we need more money, how about we have an auction, give me some money, God. Now, I think the Taliban are exactly the same thing, Brian.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The thing now is Taliban have got all these helicopters and hardware that the Americans left behind because they're too lazy to collect their own shit. I'd really like to see Jimmy Swaggart have his own army, Brian. You know, like all the hardware, maybe a few megaphones, and being the dude doing it.
Yeah, I think you're right. The world's gone past is trying to convince people that the importance of things. I think now we just need to force our opinion on people. There's no time for just trying to bring people over to our way of thinking. We're wasting time. If you've got an agenda to push, you know, just enforce your will on someone, and that's the quickest way to get to the root of the problem.
Xi Jinping style, Brian.
Xi Jinping style, Vladimir Putin style, not so much Joe Biden style, but there's been a dilution of dictatorship in the world. There used to be so many dictators you could name off the top of your head, but now how many do we have? There's not too many. There's
ScoMo.
There's ScoMo. There's Vladimir Putin. He's probably one of the best. Xi Jinping. Yeah. There's that Macron kitty who's trying his best. Oh, Justin Trudeau.
He's the best looking one.
He's not nearly nasty enough to bring this dictatorship business to the fore. So I think we're lacking in this department.
I believe that Jacinda Ardern's probably the best dictator we've ever.
She's certainly the sexiest, yeah.
Yeah, I agree, Brian. Now, one of the things I was just thinking about in my mind, that was it just got uncoupled to my cerebral cortex a little bit, but I'm going to just sew it all up, is that the world has had a lot of changes happen recently. It's the dystopian state with, there's a lot of unrest. There's a lot of sexual conflict, especially in the Vatican. And when it comes to, when it comes to animal freedoms and when it comes to, the Taliban and when it comes to Mawson's heart, is the fact that I really am having trouble with at the moment about cheese.
Oh, Brian, you come to one of my favourite subjects. Cheeses. It's an unsung hero, Brian. You can have your kebabs. You can have your smoked meats. You can have your vegetarian delights. But at the end of the day, cheese is the binder for all mankind.
I like it, like, you know, my bowels do play up a fair bit. And I love my cheese. Yes. I love my cooking oil. I love a bit of accelerant. But cheese, to me, gives me that extra flavour and texture and abundance of fecal matter that really makes me feel alive. Yeah.
A little bit of dairy goes a long way, Brian, and cheese is one of those things. The sight of a biscuit with a bit of cheese on it just really makes me hard as a rock, Brian.
Yes. There's nothing like just squeezing a Jats biscuit out of the sleeve and then rolling it towards the cheese plate and then getting in the nude and smothering yourself in Jats biscuit crackling. And then pouring engine oil all over yourself. Cheese engine oil.
I think I've just had an accident, Brian. It's a very, very good accident. No, you're right, Brian. Cheese in the pursuit of human endeavours.
It is, Brian. Anything that comes out of a cow, the double-tailed cow, is going to be magnificent. And I know we were talking about this before, about the double-tailed cow that you had a lot to do with. You know, this is why I'm coming back full circle to it now, Brian, is that I believe that your essence in that cow will make a cheese that will never, ever go out of date. Oh, come out of a date, but it won't. It'll never go out of date.
Brian, well, we've been working on this for a number of years, and we've got genetic scientists and macrobiologists working day and night on this. The combination of a really nice, mature cheese that's had the flavour boosted and a generous sample of semen mixed with it will just produce a velvety, creamy cheese that no one can resist.
And leave it in the sun for about half an hour, and it'll be running all over the place. And
you know all about it, Brian. You know.
And before you know it, it'll be expired and it'll be starting up again as a marathon runner in the next Olympics. The Brian cheese, Brian. Brisbane 32.
It is one of those cheeses. It can be cultivated in a number of ways. You can blend it with biological influences, but it just tastes fucking good too.
It tastes good. Just smeared all over the outside of a possum.
Yeah, absolutely, Brian. You know where I'm coming from.
I know where you're coming from, Brian. I don't know where you're coming on to either, Brian.
Yes.
Other than that, it's just been a great time.